Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Back to the point, it comes to Grzelcyk. Dished off on the wing and a shot deflects and a goal. What a save, and then they score. Patrice Bergeron makes it 4-1, and this game is done.
This game is done is correct. Jobo and Jim Rath had all the action tonight. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Looking forward to hearing from Mike Babcock. We'll hear from him in a few minutes' time. We'll get those calls from Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph, which were more fun from a Leaf Nation point of view after game number one. And Chris Johnston will join us from Boston and much, much more as a 4-1 win for the Boston Bruins over the Maple Leafs. The series even up at one game apiece. And Savvy, as we walked to the subway, Leaf Nation was gushing, skipping, running to the subway, enjoying all that happened Thursday. This one has a lot going to it. Couldn't have written a better script for the Boston Bruins. And then, unfortunately, some controversy involved at the end in Nazem Kadri. We've seen this act before.
Yes, I just don't know where we turn from here as a Leaf fan and as a Leaf Nation. It's just such a tough loss. It hurts deep down because it was a battle, and a lot of guys didn't show up for the battle. Gordon Nas did, and then he does something that I guarantee he wishes he had back. I know Patrick Marleau got run over a bit on that play, but he comes as his teammate's defense and doesn't just square up with the guy, takes a cheap shot at him, if you will. And, you know, when he played such a great game, that was a perfect Nazem Kadri played game. He was the only one that really showed up tonight, if you ask me. A couple guys were non-existent, and I hope Mike Babcock comes to the mic and says that tonight, that, hey, we got some guys that didn't show up tonight. We're going to need some. It's going to be tough. Who cares about the reffing, and they didn't make a lot of calls they should have? But it's going to be a tough series, and we're going to need some guys to wake up.
Who especially?
Number 34. I mean, it's blunt. It's straight. Where was he tonight? He was an absolute ghost. The big cactus looked like a little cactus tonight, Gord, and he needs to step up his game for the Leafs to be successful, especially with Nas. I'm going to probably miss, I don't know, I'm just going to go on a limb, 1-2 games. I'm going to give him the lowest I can because there is a DeBrus situation that I still think the league needs to have a look at, too, because that was a dirty knee.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where, and Chris Johnston will know more about where the whole repeat offender thing comes in for Nazem Kadri, because this happened last year that he got, eerily similar, that he got a 3-game suspension. So in the second period, cheap shot by Jake DeBrusk, who is a hard player. He's not a cheap player. He's a physical player, but it was a cheap knee-on-knee. Fortunately, Kadri wasn't injured because we were wondering if he went off the ice, didn't finish the period, but came back out there. So should have got a penalty, but we'll see if they review it for supplementary discipline. And then, as mentioned, Naz gets that hit. I mean, I'm almost saying, to me, best case scenario, I think, would be Jake DeBrus gets 1 game and Nazem Kadri gets 2 games. That's the best case scenario
and
from a Toronto point
of
view.
I'm 100% on your side. I think that is the best. And had DeBrus not did anything, it might be just 3 games for Naz. So we're kind of, you know, rubbing each other out a bit and getting rid of that 1 game, giving a guy a game. And I think you're right. I think it goes 2-1.
I'll be interested with Chris, because Chris Johnson's always got excellent perspective about things. Not trying to do Homer perspective. It is Leafs Nation. But Trevor Hansen and Brad Meyer, guys, did you have whistles? And this is not why Boston won the game. Boston won the game handily. But did you have whistles? I mean, Craig Simpson was even making calls. You got to call something. Like, not just like one or the other, the Tavares thing with Tuukka Rask. Like, you got to call something at some point.
And I'm not saying that I know everything, Gord, but I did say that with 10 minutes left that something's going to get ugly here. The refs have lost control of this hockey game. And again, it's Kadri doing something on somebody else. And then, you know, even the tackle on Marchand, I mean,
by Zach Hyman.
By Hyman. He had no interest in the puck or anything. He was going after Marchand. So a little bit, this is falls on the refs. It really does. Had they got control of the game earlier, this would have never happened.
And you know, I'm not trying to pick on the guy, but what the hell. So it's some of those little things. And I mentioned game number one. There was a great shot at the bench when Ron Hainsey was, and everyone was attentively listening to him. And I think he's got a lot of leadership there on the D. Zach Hyman made that play. And I'm not sure if the goal happened late. I don't even think the goal had happened yet. They were still down 3-0. And it showed like Willie Nylander giving him a Brad Marchand kiss at the bench. Like, Willie, you coughed the puck up
for
the third goal.
You're down 3-0.
You're down 3-0.
At that time.
You know, good or good that Zach, who plays very hard, maybe the other guy who showed up tonight beyond Nazem Kadri, and you got away
You're
with
giggling
something.
And,
but yeah, it ain't really funny.
It's not funny. It's not funny. And just to another point here, totally going back to the Kadri stuff, Jason York just tweeted out, and this makes perfect sense, Gord. Still can't figure out what Kadri was thinking there. Just punch him, tackle him, anything, but cross-check him in the face. You will at least get a game and put this team in a bad spot in game four. And that is, and now for game four, I don't think he missed game three. But anyway, that's he's putting him in a bad situation, his team. And I know he's trying to, we all understand that it's great to come to your player's defense. The elder Marlowe, who's struggling in this series, to say the least, he come over and you do that. There's other ways to go about it, as Yorkie was trying to say here.
Well, the other one, yeah, exactly. The other one, to go back to William Nylander coughing up that incredible giveaway for the third goal, was the Leafs never got a chance to exhibit speed kills like they did in game number one. But they were just starting to get going a little bit again. They were down 2-0, but they were starting to, you know, feel their oats a little bit and starting to exhibit a bit more of that. And that horrible gaff giveaway, about as bad as I've seen, put them down 3-0, and then speed kills never became a factor.
He just, at the end of the game, at the end of the day, you know, a 4-1 game, but still, had the Leafs made that 2-1 goal without that gaffe, this could have been a hockey game going out. But again, too many to overcome, especially in the type of game it was, and the Leafs fall flat on their face, really, in tonight's game. I'm really, really interested to hear Mike Babcock's comments tonight.
Well, when we come back, we will hear from the head coach, Mike Babcock, about tonight's game. We'll also check in Chris Johnson. We'll have a good flavor about what's gone on in Boston. We'll also hear the calls of tonight's game. As I mentioned, it was more fun on Thursday. We'll see what happens in game three on Monday, but we'll get all those, and we'll get your direct energy, hardest working Leaf. And interestingly, it might be a guy that is likely to get some kind of supplementary discipline at the end of the day. And again, many of the Maple Leaf players will hear from the mem. It was everything the Boston Bruins could have wanted for game number two. They come back with a 4-1 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The first round best 4-7 playoff series tied at one game apiece. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Well, we're going to talk about just what happened. That's what we do on Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. A 4-1 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're going to hear the goal calls from Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph in a second. You picked up on some stats that really, you know, caught your eye, whether it was on the Boston Bruins side or Leafs side, about hits, shots, ice time. What sticks out to you, Savvy, as you peruse the game statistics?
Well, David Backes is coming in tonight's hockey game, coming back to tonight's hockey game. Backes is back, and he was, Gord, 7 hits tonight for David Backes, and they wanted to play that tougher game after I talked to a couple Bruins people, and they definitely did that. It was a tough game to be in. Every Boston Bruin had a hit, Gord, right across the board for 44 hits tonight, just throwing the body around. But on the Leafs side, too, they tried to bang back, 39, give them credit. A couple guys with some blanks over there on that side. But again, Kadri tries to take stuff in his own hands. Austin Matthews disappearing act. I mean, they're going to need Austin. I didn't pick on him in game one. He had a couple shift in his own zone that he stayed in there quite a while. And then tonight, just nowhere to be found when they need him at most tonight.
Yeah, everybody but Jake Gardner and Morgan Riley, not meaning to single them out, got a hit. So the Leafs had 30 as well. So they gave back a bit, but the Bruins dominated in that category. Austin Matthews had 5 shots, and I really don't remember them. And he had 4 missed shots as well, firing wide. And I just, you know, and that's the kind of thing that he's got to get that, you know, when he gets he controls the puck like a lacrosse ball and just wires it. And again, he's a minus one. And he's been a minus player during the regular season.
-9 he ended up.
Yeah. And this thing. So 2 games into it, it'll be home ice. You'll get the matchups you want to get. Well, that's another thing. You'll get the matchups you want to get. And from the drop of the puck, what struck us, and we didn't see in game number one,
the matchups right off the gate, right out of the gate, Gord, first shift, the only thing the Leafs were focused on was getting off the ice. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. No, like, we both kind of sighed when we saw it.
Here we go. And I don't care if the Bruins fourth line was out there. Let Marner, Tavares, and Hyman Play against them. Try and score a goal. It's their fourth line. Let them go.
It's called a mismatch. That's what you try to do. Anyway, that there we go. We're pumped. We're ready. Well, Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph were pumped as well. Unfortunately, it right from the get-go, it was the Boston Bruins show, and they put all kinds of pressure on the Maple Leafs, and it was in just a little bit after 4 minutes, they strike.
Face-off scrummed outside the blue line. Fed back now for McAvoy, who shoots it into the Toronto zone. Zaitsev carrying it around back of the net. Backus missed him with a hit. The puck comes in front of the net. They score! Charlie Coyle in front of the goal. Backus sets it up. 1-0 Boston.
Charlie Coyle from Backus at the 4:44 mark.
Yeah, it was bound to happen, Gord. You called it out. You kept throwing stuff around the room, and it wasn't sushi. That was going down your throat, but there's a lot of other things were flying around, and you were mad. You kept saying, turn it over, turn over, turn over, and then a turnover, and it ends up in the back of your net, and Charlie Coyle gets his first of the playoffs, and they were up 1-0, and really never looked back.
Yeah, and basically those first 4 minutes, what I was saying was last game, and you talked about one of your three keys, keep it simple. And they did that so well. Even when the Bruins put a lot of pressure in game number one, the Leafs made the simple little passes. Whatever, from the word go, they had like two turnovers in the first minute, and it just seemed to set the tone. So you're thinking maybe get out of the period down 1-0, which wouldn't be a bad thing, but the Bruins strike again late.
Here is Krug trying to come out, and a long lead pass for Pastrnak, dropping it back in on goal, they score! Marchand makes it 2-0 after a penalty could have been called back in the other end of the rink.
Brad Marchand from Pastrnak and Krug at the 16:04 mark.
Give credit where credit's due, Gord. This was just a gorgeous play by David Pastrnak to Brad Marchand, able to find the five hole on Freddie Anderson. But you know what? You can't pick on Freddie in this hockey game. This could have been 8-9-1 easy. There was how many 10 bellers tonight? Come on. Five?
Oh yeah.
At least five.
Yeah. And again, one of the things Thursday we mentioned, there were a lot of shots on goal in Freddie, but not a lot of great scoring chances. Tonight there were a lot of great scoring chances.
Tonight they were right on the goal mouth in the blue paint all around it. And Freddie made four or five big time backdoor saves. Even on that last goal. I mean, that first puck should have went in and he kicked it out. And then his defense, I don't know what they were covering. They call that cover an ice guard. And it cost them again, back of their net.
Yeah, and that was a part of Kadri's 5-minute major late in the game. Boston did score once. We'll get to that in a bit. But boy, Freddie made huge saves then.
Huge saves then.
So he really battled, competed. 2-0, the Bruins lead the Toronto Maple Leafs after the first period of play. They outshot Toronto 14-7. And, this may be about as bad a giveaway as we saw all season. Cue the next Bruin goal.
A shot at the side of the goal! Scores! No!
So the Leafs looking to build off the big hit, make the gaffe of the series so far.
And it's Willie Nylander
taking it into the Leafs zone. He tries to go behind the net and then loses it.
Jim Ralph chiming a lot there. I think Joe Bowen saying, what the hell happened there? And that is the one we're talking about. I don't know. Explain it.
Attention to detail, Gord. That's what this one's going to be called. Attention to detail. Not paying attention, not thinking about the time where you're at, and just making a gaffe. And you can't blame anything here. You can't blame the ice. You can't blame anything but not being totally prepared for the situation.
Well, that was, we talk about that. That made it 3-0. And then kind of all hell broke loose. There was a hit late in the period by Jake DeBrusk on Nazem Kadri. Easily should have been penalized. Wasn't the good news. Kadri did come back to start the third period of play, so he wasn't injured. It looked like a knee-on-knee hit that way. Shots on goal, 15-9 in the second period of play. And now we get to the third period of play. Hard to believe just the guy we're talking about gets the lone Leaf goal.
Hyman, the end of a shift that has been brilliant. Back to the point it comes. Dermott shot, scores! A deflection in front of the goal, and the Leafs are on the board. Nazem Kadri tips it home, 3-1.
Nazem Kadri from Dermott and Nylander, 10:44 mark.
Real unfortunate situation for Kadri. I know he scores the goal, Gordon. I just want to totally forget about that because this was a Nazem Kadri type game. He was their best player tonight up until this point, and he scores a goal. I shouldn't say up until this point, up until the point that comes in a couple minutes, but up until this point. This was a Nazem Tadri type game. This is the one we wanted to see from him all regular season long. And tonight he brings it, and then he does something that he wishes he had back, and he's going to cost his team. He's not going to be in the next hockey game.
Yeah, and again, I think it was two shifts later for him, maybe his next shift, but two shifts later, 14:03 mark, 5 minutes for cross-checking and a 10-minute game misconduct. And again, describe the play as you saw it from a hockey player's perspective.
Well, from a hockey player's perspective here is that, you know, Marleau gets run over on a questionable, a solid hit, but he runs into the partition that's bent now. So it looks worse to everybody on the ice. And then he tries to come to Marleau's rescue, which happens. You want to stick up for a teammate. But again, like Jason York said, like you're going to read on Twitter, you don't need to cross-check a guy in the head. Drop your gloves right away. Go grab him and try and fight him. Do what you want to you know, protect your teammate. But don't do something that's going to cost your team. And he cost his team, Gord.
Yeah. Well, tonight you could just drop your gloves. I don't think you get a penalty the way that we're calling anything.
Well, yeah.
And again, wow, history repeating itself. The five-minute major, I mean, it's a different time in the game. But the Leafs actually had some good chances shorthanded. You know, I know it's different flavor. They're playing at the string trying to get it. But the Bruins did strike once on the power play.
Back to the point. It comes to Grzelcyk. Dished off on the wing and a shot deflects and a goal. What a save. And then they score. Patrice Bergeron makes it 4-1. And this game is done.
Yeah, it's done. Power play goal. Bergeron from Marchand and Grzelcyk at the 15:03 mark. Shots on goal, 15-12. The Leafs over the Boston Bruins in that one. Shots on goal, Boston outshoots Toronto 41-31. They win 4-1. Let's hear, though, get right to it, because we want to hear from Maple Leaf head coach. Here's Mike Babcock right after tonight's 4-1 loss to the Boston Bruins.
Mike, where did this game get away from you in terms of execution and then maybe with the extracurricular stuff?
Well, I just thought at the start we weren't as good. I mean, last night I thought our intensity was real good. At the start of the game, obviously, their intensity was a different level. We didn't handle their forecheck and execute. It's nothing that we hadn't talked about or tried to prepare for, but we didn't execute on it. And instead of putting the puck in like we did the game before and getting in their D, we turned the puck over. And in the end, that cost us. And so, you know, to be honest with you, when you come in here, initially you're hoping to probably get a split, but once you get the first game, you get greedy and you want the second game, and we didn't get the second game. So we're in a best of five now and got to dig in.
Coach, what do you think of Naz's night? They targeted him all night. Game got away from him a little bit, and what happened there at the end?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the league decides on all this kind of stuff. I didn't see it and haven't reviewed because it was down the wall from us, so I haven't reviewed it, so I don't really know that. You know, it was a game, it was a physical game. The referees, the way they ref the game, let a lot of stuff go, obviously. But in the end, you can't let that get in the way of what you're doing. You got playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs isn't supposed to be easy, and it's worth it. And you just got to find another level to dig in.
No, he gave up four goals, but Anderson had a pretty spectacular game, second and third, early third period, keeping you in.
Well, I thought in the first and the second he did a real nice job for us. You know, it's an unfortunate bounce for him on the fourth goal, but I thought he'd done a nice job. And we basically shot it in the net ourselves on the third one. So I thought Freddie did a good job, but he did a good job the night before too. And that's what we expect him to give us a chance every night.
So now you've seen the Bruins at their sort of physical best. What do you do to tomorrow or planning stages to rebound?
Well, we go home and have an off day, get regrouped, and get back at her. And, you know, every game in the series is supposed to get better. It's supposed to get harder. And obviously we have to elevate our game here and respond. But the bottom line is whichever team is into the other team's D is going to have a lot of success.
Mike, did you guys have any trouble with the DeBrusk hit on Kadri late in the second?
You know, it does mean no good to evaluate this stuff. You got other people that do that.
In the big picture, then, what did you think of the team's response physically to what, obviously, the Bruins brought it a little bit more tonight?
Well, I thought in the first period we weren't good enough. You know, I thought our third period we were coming and doing good things, but to me it took us too long. The way they played tonight, I don't think surprised anybody in our room, but we didn't execute and handle it. So the bottom line is we'll get another go at this. We'll be in our house next, and we got to come out and get after them just like we did in night one. Last question.
If you don't have Naz for game three, does Willie become the center?
That's a good question. My two options would be Marlow or Willie. I haven't, that's what the flight's about here tonight. Get that figured out and go from there. In the meantime, though, it's a regroup opportunity for us. That's all there is. We liked our game one. You felt real good about yourself. We didn't like our game two. Don't feel as good about yourself. Get a regroup, get ready to play.
Yeah, Mike Babcock, again, a 4-1 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Scored Stelec, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame. One thing about him is he never flies off the handle. He gets back to things. He doesn't editorialize or offer anything up what he thinks about the DeBrusque hit on Kadri and Kadri's then hit on DeBrusque and any kind of possible supplementary discipline. I thought he made a good line that it gets ramped up and you got to ramp yourself up and it's worth it.
Yeah, it's that time of year. It's not a privilege. You earn to play in the playoffs and you want to be in the playoffs. And that's an unfortunate situation, Kadri taking himself out of the playoffs. So we'll have to see moving forward. But for me tonight, Gord, and I hope you agree with me, I think the bottom line, the story for the Toronto Maple Leafs is what they're going to have on the way home. Too many passengers. Too many passengers tonight, Gord. Too many guys watching on, not digging in. And it starts right from big Austin Matthews.
Yeah, and he's one of the guys we'll hear from a little bit later on. We'll hear from Austin Matthews and a few others. We have to get the – and Thursday, there was a bevy of those to select from our Direct Energy Home Services hardest-working Leafs player of the game. And, Savvy, who are you looking at
I'm tonight? Not even looking at the stats. It's Freddie Anderson for me. That's it. Boom. Hardest-working Direct Energy, hardest-working Toronto Maple Leaf is Greg Anderson. I just rattled over here.
Yeah, I know.
Anderson.
Craig Anderson, the Ottawa Senators, is all pumped. Are we in the playoffs? Did I miss something? Yeah, Freddie Anderson.
Oh, that's it. That's it for me, Gord. If it wasn't for him, it's 8-9-1 tonight.
41-31, shots on goal. And before we hear from John Tavares and then Chris Johnston, another thing we talked about was that, okay, get some shots on Tuukka Rask. Again, easier said than done. But man, oh man, like I'm leaving these two games saying Freddie Anderson has been real solid. Tuukka Rask, again, couldn't blame him game number one, but just doesn't have that look that Freddie has right now.
He doesn't look like he can steal you a game. Freddie looks like he can, and he's waiting to. And tonight, had he not got peppered the way he did, he might have been able to do that. But you can't blame Freddie tonight. And again, like you said, Tuukka hasn't been fully tested yet. And hopefully when they come back to Toronto, that's number one thing on the top of their list, Gord.
Yeah. And
Biscuits at the basket.
Yes, that's right. Biscuits at the basket. And of course, Monday we'll be on right after the game, Leafs Nation postgame. We have postgame shows all regular season and playoff Toronto Maple Leaf games. We cover all those. So we'll look forward, wonder what they have to say on Monday. Well, John Tavares, it was funny. We didn't hear from him after game number one. It was nothing negative. He did score his first playoff goal as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He got the empty netter there, played real solid. And tonight, taking a look at Tavares's stats, he was minus one, one shot on net, 19 minutes, 58 seconds of ice time, 50% in the faceoffs, 8-1, 8 lost. Here's John Tavares after the 4-1 loss.
John, in a series like this, how fine a line is it between control and contempt when tempers flare and tonight gets frustrating?
Yeah, it's a long series, so no matter kind of the situation, you still got to play the right way and try to grab momentum, and you play right to the end. And obviously, we don't want to get away from what we want to do well. And they're going to push back and play hard, so just have to continue to play our game.
Do you think you guys got baited into it tonight and lost your composure?
No, not necessarily. I don't think we really got into to too much. It all can be debated. So whatever was called, what wasn't called, what we were doing, what they were doing, we just have to play better.
How much does it hurt if you guys
are
without Naz?
Well, Naz is a crucial part of our team. Whatever the circumstances are, we believe in the guys we have in our locker room.
John, what didn't you guys do tonight that you would have liked to?
Just didn't think we executed as well. We're in as crisp with the puck, and that didn't allow us to really generate as much on the forecheck as we did in game one. And we knew they were going to come hard and respond, and we just didn't execute at a high enough rate, high enough level. Sometimes that's the way it goes, and you just got to stay with it and find your game. We obviously got one to get back within two, and unfortunately ran out of time, and we just weren't as good today.
What do you see on the power play tonight?
Well, we got some shots to the net. The ice was considerably worse than the other night, so there was just a lot of bouncing pucks and just trying to get things settled. And we got some pucks in the net. We got some tips, trying to get some second rebounds, trying to fight for loose pucks and retrievals. And sometimes it doesn't always just fall your way, or it's just clean and hits a stick or whatnot. So we just got to stay with it. We had some pucks, like I said, go to the net. Obviously, we got to try to find a way to get some, but, you know, there's no reason to get frustrated.
How did you see that? What looked like a neon game earlier?
Yeah, I mean, we thought it was. It is what it is. You just try to move on and prepare for the next shift. You worry about what's called, what's not called. Obviously, it looked like a neon knee to us. It is what it is. So just try to move forward and worry about the game that's ahead.
You're that guy. Do you have to keep your composure when it seems like there's lots of things happening around you?
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, especially can be, you know, luckily it wasn't obviously serious, but something like that could be very serious. And you know, obviously the intensity of what playoff hockey is all about, it ain't easy. But at the same time, we know that going in, you have to keep your composure, and not everything's going to go your way. Things aren't going to get called that maybe you think should get called, and we just have to stay with it.
Yeah, John Tavares, pretty well always very professional and talking a lot of common sense after the 4-1 loss to the Boston Bruins tonight. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame. And one thing Mike Babcock did offer up, he even said, good question. But so who plays center, William Nylander or Patrick Marleau? I think either way, these are two guys that have a lot to show, hopefully can show, you know, need to pick it up a little bit they played this for parts of the season.
You know why he's mentioning Patrick Marleau? The reason he's saying Patrick Marleau, because he doesn't believe that Willie Nylander can play well defensively down low. He's too small, too soft, whatever you will. So that would be the only thing that's in my head why he wants Patrick Marleau in this tougher series to play the middle. So I would bet Patrick Marleau.
So Patrick Marleau would go in at center. So
Tyler Ennis would draw in.
Yeah.
And maybe I think Moore would pop up on that third line, and then Ennis would slot in on the fourth.
Take a look. Again, this is not a game, because when the game's out of hand.
Maybe Muzzin comes out and Marenshin goes in.
you mentioned it. With the Masters on, Jake and Nikita are both minus threes tonight. But that Nylander gave away, it's unfair to give anybody a minus, but they were both minus threes tonight. And, they had a tough time, to say the least, on D. A lot of guys had a tough time, and they mentioned, give the Boston Bruins credit for all the pressure they put on the Toronto Maple Leafs this way. I'm just kind of looking does it really matter for it? Actually, Freddie Gauthier, 7:56, seemed like he was on the ice a lot, which is not a bad thing, I guess, if you're noticing him. But Mitch Marner, 20:28, killed a lot of the penalty. Austin Matthews, 20:03. So Austin got his ice time.
That wasn't, Austin. I can't stick up for him tonight. I have most of the season, but I got no reason to stick up for Austin Matthews tonight. He's got to be better. Marner's got to be better. Marlowe's got to be better. Zaitsev's got to be better. Kapanen's another guy. Gord, two games, he has to be a lot better. Tavares, he's played hard again. He played hard. Nas played hard, but I mean, we're not going to see him again for another two games, maybe. And again, a lot of passengers tonight, and I think that's the bottom line. If I was going to write an article tonight, it would have passengers right at the top.
Well, if you write an article, I will read it, just if you want to do it, even an article for one. I look forward to that. I like your writing. Where your thoughts, your opinions, Austin Matthews, tonight's game, as mentioned, you know, playoffs have not been his strength. I'm trying to think back to the Leaf-Washington series even a couple of years ago. Nazem Kadri was strong in that one. Sperry Kapanen got the big overtime goal in one of those as well. So Austin Matthews tonight, minus one. He had 5 shots on net. He played 20:03. And here's a little bit Austin Matthews postgame after the 4-1 loss.
What was the biggest change from game one to tonight?
I mean, we knew they were going to come out. You know, that first 10 minutes, obviously, they were physical, trying to make a statement. So I think, you know, we weathered the storm as well as we could. And, you know, I thought kind of halfway through the game, we kind of started pushing back much better and into the third period, sort of generating more chances and playing more ozone. So I'd say the first 2 periods, they controlled a lot of the play. And obviously, you know, when you lose game one at home, you know they're going to come out with a response, and they obviously did.
Did you feel like there should have been more penalty calls out there tonight, or?
I don't know. I mean, obviously the refs are trying to do their best, and you got to roll with the cards you're dealt. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, you just got to roll with the card that you're dealt, and you know, I guess believe that they're going to do the best job that they can. I don't know. I didn't really see that. I didn't really have a good angle of the play, so I don't really have an answer for you.
Is there any frustration with no kneeing call on the Nebraska play?
I mean, it happened so quick. You know, it looked like it was a knee. I mean, like I said, the refs are trying to make the best call and do what they feel is right, obviously. So, I mean, it's a fast game out there. Stuff's happening at a high pace, and they're going to try to do that the best they can. So, I mean, it's happening fast. You know, I don't know, you know, what to really say about it.
Why were you guys able to get as good a forecheck going tonight and puck down their end, especially at the beginning?
Sorry?
Why at the beginning were you able to get a forecheck?
Weren't,
yeah.
I mean, I think they just put the puck in our end, and they started forechecking us. We weren't doing too good of a job breaking out of our zone, you know, in the beginning. And, you know, it kind of wore on us. And as the game went on, we finally kind of calmed down a bit and started making plays coming out of our zone. But that first kind of period and a half, two periods, I thought, you know, we didn't do a good enough job getting open for ID and holdups on them. And they were coming, obviously, very hard. It's difficult. You know, that's a tough break. You know, like you said, we felt like we were kind of turning things around. But even when it was 3-1 with, I don't know, 6-7 minutes left, we felt like we were kind of making a charge. And, you know, a couple shots, getting guys in the net there. And, you know, their goalie made some good saves. And, you know, we felt like the momentum was kind of coming over to us. And, you know, we get one goal and you never know what can happen. And the momentum shift there. And, you know, obviously we take a penalty and, you know, we're sitting in the box pretty much the rest of the game. So, you know, that's on us.
You get a split here going home. You have to use the momentum of playing at home kind of like they did tonight, especially in the first 10 minutes.
I think we do, absolutely. I mean, walking out of here 1-1, I think you know, we're in a good situation. We're going back to our barn and you know, utilize the crowd as much as we can. And like you said, gain momentum on our side, especially that first 10 minutes. Make sure that we're ready to come to play and everybody gets rested up and start strong.
Auston Matthews after the 4-1 loss to the Boston Bruins tonight. And, yeah, coming back, they will have home ice advantage, and that's something they really never had tied 1-1 last year. They were always fighting it from behind as far as it goes. So joining Gord Stellick, Mark Savard joining us from Boston, Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. How you doing, Luke?
Well, I'm doing well. Trying to recover from watching a very interesting, very exciting hockey game. That was a madhouse in there.
Well, let's touch on some things because you're actually there and then you get to chat afterwards. Mike Babcock, you know, he's never going to say anything controversial about what went on or what. So what is the sense there about, and again, Bruins won the game fair and square, but the officials' disinterest in calling penalties against either team, the DeBrusque hit on Kadri, and then, of course, the Kadri hit on DeBrusque later on as far as supplementary discipline guesses for Kadri, any possibility for DeBrusque, and what the hell was going on?
Yeah, it feels like the officials kind of let it get away from themselves early. You know, they let a few things go early on, and then they tried to reel it back. But in the Maple Leafs room, you know, I asked Morgan Riley, you know, just flatly, what did you think of the officiating? And he said that he thought they did a good job. The Leafs aren't are resisting any temptation they might have to blame the refs on this one. They're taking ownership for it, saying that they expected this kind of pushback and, you know, that they should have been more prepared for it. I mean, they talked about this. They knew the Bruins were going to come out angrier and feistier and more physical. You know, they brought in David Backes as well, a little lineup tweak, and took Marcus Johansson out. So they knew this was coming, but just because you know it's coming doesn't mean you don't get run over by it. You know, the Bruins absolutely dominated those first 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and really set the tone. And then, you know, the Leafs had no room to get their skill game going. I mean, two Leafs defensemen were left bloodied by the end of the first period. Muzzin with that hard Pasternak hit, and I think it was DeBrusk who caught Travis Dermott with the elbow. And then once Kadri got into it, you know, he's still trying to find that line, right? He just, you know, he was so furious about that knee-on-knee hit, and then he saw Marlowe get run kind of near the stanchion there. So he just went right after him with the stick. We're just going to have to wait word from Department of Player Safety. I just talked to Jake DeBrusk a little bit, and he's saying no comment. He doesn't want to talk about Kadri at all. And he insisted he's not a dirty player, but that knee-on-knee looked pretty borderline to a lot of people.
For sure, the league has some work to do this evening, moving on into Monday to see what the suspensions or fines will be. And I believe both of them are guilty for something. But at the end of the day for me here, the story for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and me and Gord have been talking about it, way too many passengers tonight. And the one that's glaring out, and I hate to pick on him going into last year's playoffs, Austin Matthews has 2 points. We talked about his ice time. He's getting his ice time 20 minutes again tonight, but invincible to myself and Gord.
Yeah, I mean, he registered a few shots and stuff, but he was on the perimeter, as a lot of Leafs were. And there was mistakes. You know, Jake Muzzin left his man unchecked on the first goal. You know, the William Nylander gaffe on what should be a real simple play, just carrying the puck around Freddie's net, was really unfortunate. He didn't come out to talk, but Freddie did, and Freddie kind of blamed the ice, actually. He said that the ice has been bad these two games. And, you know, otherwise, I thought Anderson actually had a spectacular performance. But like you said, there were too many passengers in the group in front of him, and they let him down. And it, you know, letting a team like Boston get up on you by a couple goals, it's really hard, because then they can play their game. I think this, so far in these two games, it's really been a battle of identities and of which team wants to play their type of game. And in game one, the Leafs enforced their speed and skill game. But in game two, this thing got dragged into the trenches, and, then the Bruins skill took over, and the big line executed well. Then, you know, they scored another one on Kadri's 5-minute major. And it just kind of all went to hell for the Leafs. But on the flip side, you know, if going into this, if you were to grant them a 1-1 split in Boston, you know, they'd probably take that.
Well, that'll be the only positive really coming back here to Toronto, is they did get the split. You can't really throw away tonight's game, because it's going to loom in your memory, because you gotta bring the physicality. And I will say this for fans that think that's an excuse. This time of year, Gord and Luke, the weather's changing. And the inside of the arena, the weather changes. And it's tough to keep the temperature up, especially with so many people in the crowd, that the ice does take a beating.
Yeah, so I know that as it goes on and on. So it'll be a reality, and I know, not using it as a cop-out, John Tavares mentioned it as well. One quick one, because I know you're busy, but did you at the start kind of sigh, like Savvy and I did, when Babs changed lines 20 seconds in again, going, geez, Thursday it just looked like there was a fluidity. Granted, a lot of it is the game will dictate that, but man, are we back to the matching lines obsession on the road again?
You're right. He's obsessed with it. And it burned him out on the one goal that created the 2-on-1 with Pasternak and Marchand. Part of the reason for that was they were trying to make a defense pair flip really quick, because Babcock wants Muzzin and Zaitsev against that line as opposed to Riley and Hainsey. So they were rushing to make that defense change to appease their coach, and that was part of the reason why they got caught on the odd man rush. And you shake your head a little bit because you know he's chasing matchups on the road, and a lot of players will tell you that they'd rather just roll the lines, roll the deep pairs, and worry about the line matching more at home.
Well, we'll look forward to your take on the game on Sportsnet.ca. As always, Luke, thanks very much.
All right. Monday should be a good one.
Yeah, we will. We'll see you down there. I guess we'll see you Wednesday, but we'll talk to you as well. So we'll look forward to seeing you down Scotiabank Arena. Thanks a lot, Luke.
Okay, take care, guys. Bye.
Luke Fox joining us from Sportsnet.ca. As mentioned, we will be on the air Monday with Leafs Nation postgame right after the game. We'll find out what happens the first home game number 3 for the Leafs and the Boston Bruins. We know what happened tonight. It was a 4-1 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Leafs Nation Postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Jeez, you look like Jake Muzz with the puck there.
Yeah, I know.
With the puck there for a minute.
Try to catch my audio
all
here.
All panicky and crowd. Like, they had four guys on you.
I know. Well, anyway, we are going to take a look at NHL playoff scoreboard brought to you by Proline. Put your knowledge on the line with Proline. How about that? This afternoon, we had the Washington Capitals overtime win against the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, good on the Hurricanes. They came back from a 2-0 deficit and then came back down 3-2. But unfortunately, Savvy, in overtime, a 150, Brooks Orpik scores rather quickly, a minute 30 into overtime.
Brooks Orpik paying dividends for the Washington Capitals. Gore, we talked about it. I know they had to give up Grubauer to go to Colorado and send Orpik in that deal. Then Colorado buys out Orpik, and Washington signs him at a measly $1 million around that area. And he steps up big and pays for that $1 million with this huge, huge playoff goal.
Yeah, big goal for him tonight. Brooks Orpik coming through this afternoon. And then you've got the Dallas Stars, Nashville Predators. And boy, it's the Dallas Stars' strong start on the road, but it's a Craig Smith goal by the Nashville Predators. They win 2-1 in overtime. Nashville evens that series 1-1 against Dallas.
Nashville needed this win. They did outplay Dallas tonight, and they deserved it. And kind of a fluky goal hits the former Leaf Roman Polak in the face and drops down, and Smith's able to be Johnny on the spot and get that series knotted up at 1. It looks like it's going to be a deep series in that one.
And Calgary, Colorado. So we've been catching some of the observations you've caught with the Calgary, Colorado game. Again, a little bit of physicality.
Big, big hit thrown on Giordano. I'm not sure who caught him. Didn't get a number, and neither did he, because he was down. But anyway, a physical series. And Mike Smith, we talked about Calgary goaltending, stood on his head in game one, Gord, and again tonight, making some big saves. He just stopped Landeskog early on a breakaway.
Taking a look at that game going on. There's no score after one period of play between Colorado and Calgary. And, of course, we'll keep you posted all that's going on around the out-of-town scoreboard. It's the best time of year, the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And much like we'll hear about Nazem Kadri's situation from the Department of Player Safety, we wonder if Jake DeBrusk will also be included in that from the Department of Player Safety. It's going to be a tall task for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They lost last night and found out earlier today Nikita Kucherov a one-game suspension. So game three, they'll be in Columbus, and they'll be without Nikita Kucherov.
They will be, and it's a huge, huge hill to climb. And you know what the sad thing is? They had a fantastic regular season, but no one's going to remember that in Tampa. If they can't come back in this series Kucherov-less in the next game, Gord, it's a big task, and I don't know if they can handle it. It's going to be tough. There hasn't been much adversity a year. Not only are you down two, but now you lose your leading scorer and your MVP. It's going to be a tough one.
Another one is as well as with Tampa. We looked at it and just said, boy, Victor Hedman, game number one, was about as bad a game as seen Victor Hedman play. And don't know, he was coming back from a possible concussion-type hit. And, you know, was he 100% or not? He certainly didn't look it. They were talking before the game, one of the people that, you know, they put notes out that Kucherov, he seemed to be continually in the pregame warm-up obsessed with his hand, like taking the glove off and looking as if something was amiss with a finger, with a hand. Who knows? Because, I mean, one thing in the playoffs, you look at last year, Wayne Simmonds, you know, you find out a couple of years ago, Joe Thornton. I mean, what guys, and you would have done it yourself and played with guys, played against guys, that there's all kinds of injuries that you wouldn't play in the regular season and that you get zero disclosure about. So you're always curious about that. And you know, for Kucherov, down 5-1, it's kind of like Kadri tonight, you know. You get pissed off, and it's not a wise play to make, and it's a selfish play, and it hurts the team. This guy won the Art Ross Trophy. He very well could win the Hart Trophy.
Yes, for
I know
sure.
You're seconding that. I know you appreciate that.
Yes, it's definitely a tough situation and a tough one he's put the Leafs in. And like you said, there's always guys playing with injuries throughout the playoffs, and it never comes fully to our transparency until after in the media world. But we find out about a lot of guys going under the knife guard right after the playoffs are done, battling through it, doing what they have to do to help their teams be successful. And we're going to hear about it again this year. No different. There's going to be guys that are coming out, and it may be Kucherov with a torn pinky. I don't know what it is, but something will come out of that Tampa Bay locker room.
And speaking of which, tonight's game as well, Torrey Krug took a hit, just played 10 minutes, 3 seconds, left the game after that. And also Connor Clifton, who's been added to the Boston D, played 13 minutes. They were down to 4D. Now, granted, it wasn't a close game when they were down to the 4D, but right now they were down to 4D, the Bruins, as they had 2D injured tonight.
And you know what? It's not going to hurt the Bruins, Gord. They've been through this all season, as we know. They've had D going in and out of their lineup all season long. And I think there's Miller's just around the corner waiting to come back. They got some other guys that have done a great job filling in this season. So their depth on defense is plentiful, but they will miss. We talked about him earlier in the game. It's funny about Torrey Krug, and I told you a stat that surprised you, and it surprised me when I read it. Over the last 3 seasons in the National Hockey League, he is third in defenseman scoring over that span.
I knew he had decent offensive numbers, but you're right. That really, and that kind of consistency as well, speaks volumes about Torrey Krug. So we will come back and we'll talk more. We'll hear from some more of the Toronto Maple Leaf players later on after tonight's game as well. But we'll chat more about getting set for game number 3 and a reflection looking back on a game number 2 that did not go the Toronto Maple Leafs' way. It was a 4-1 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
You think you have a lot to say about that game? You should hear these guys. This is the Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. And, the 4-1 loss in Boston. They'll be having fun in Boston tonight. Leafs flying back. Mike Babcock mentioned a day off tomorrow. I guess we'll find out. Well, I know we'll find out. Nazem Kadri's hearing is automatic. Not the case for Jake DeBrusk because he was not penalized for the knee-on-knee hit on Kadri, but we'll see if something comes out about that. I like it, though. Like it when the fur is flying, you know? Like after Thursday, it was a pretty tranquil 48 hours in Toronto. Diehard Leaf fans, supportive Leaf fans were going, yeah, this is awesome. Others who didn't think they're going to win this series and maybe have flipped back again tonight couldn't believe what happened. And now you have a Boston Bruin team that showed exactly what they're all about. You had a physicality that took its toll on the Toronto Maple Leafs. But really, beyond that, the physical part, I think you touched on it. When you have too many passengers, you have too many passengers. Doesn't matter what kind of game it is.
Exactly. And they just didn't play up to the level of the Boston Bruins tonight. Let's be honest. And that's the story of the game. Too many passengers that were key cogs to this team. You always want your top six to play like it, Gord. Especially, we talked about this the other day. It seems like at playoff time, your best players step up. They want to be your best players, and we're not seeing that in this series, and especially tonight. So, and you knew who I'm talking about. It's not anything that we had to hide from. Anderson tried to do his part as best he can. Yeah, you're trying to steal games, but we got to be realistic. Tonight, that wasn't a game that Anderson could solely steal.
No, and to go back to the old phrase about, and this is where the next phase about your best players, the bigger the stage, the bigger the game. And this is the challenge that you want to see how they respond from the Leaf players. We know the Bruins did get one cup with a lot of these players. Chicago got 3, LA got 2, you know, Pittsburgh 2, Washington, whatever, 1 to get there. And as Mike Babcock mentioned, without Nazem Kadri, he's looking at Patrick Marleau or William Nylander as a center. It comes to the two guys now. Like, Nazem Kadri got squeezed out a little bit, the short end of the stick to a degree with Tavares' signing. You know, he didn't have the same presence like he did when he had back-to-back 30-goal seasons. He's played really well these two games. And John Tavares and Big Cactus, this stage is theirs. It is home ice advantage you have now. The Toronto Maple Leafs have home ice advantage in a best 3 out of 5 series. Mr. Matthews, like they said to Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus Monday in the ceremonial tee-off in Augusta, the tee is yours. The ice is yours.
Oh, well said.
Beautiful.
You and you look beautiful with that Masters shirt on tonight.
I know.
He dressed up for tonight's playoff game. He looks gorgeous. And he just says the perfect words right there. And I couldn't say it any better myself, Gord. The tee is yours. And good luck tomorrow, Tiger.
Yeah. Well, oh, boy. What a day. Okay, so we go back. How we started Leafs Nation pregame. We had a special one-hour session, which was great before the game. And just said, what a great day to be a sports fan. Jays won, which was a nice win. Unfortunately, the Raptors lost in the playoffs. Toronto FC lost. And now the Leafs lost. It looked like maybe when the Jays had won that all the Toronto sports team could win. But also the Masters to sit back and watch it. And again, to see just what we're talking about. I mean, Tiger Woods back at it on stage. And tomorrow, that'll be interesting now that they're starting at 7:30 in the morning tee off. Because of a big storm that's coming, they're going to do the split tees, 1 and 10.
And threesomes.
So Tiger gets in the final
threesome. Tiger gets in the
threesome.
Final group.
So the guys that are going to have the lead right now, Molinaro on that, they're going to look at his smiling face right in the group.
Yes, and don't kid yourself. Tiger is not what he used to be, but right now he's still scary, and he'll be scary at Augusta. That's his house, the house that Tiger built, and they got to play beside him with the crowd all cheering for Tiger Woods. I'm interested, Gord. You're interested. We'll be watching it with a close eye. And then Monday night, we'll be back in the office. And hopefully the Leafs come back into the office and start working hard again and getting engaged.
Okay, they had a 4-1 loss tonight to the Boston Bruins. One thing at the end of last segment we talked about, and just guys mentioning about the ice not being great. And you just mentioned in the playoffs, I mean, you think about some of these places. Actually, they said Vegas, the ice was pretty good last year in the final. I got to give them credit, maybe because it's a super new building.
And because that the climate doesn't change as much, right? It's
right.
A lot to do with the outside climate. Like, we're down at the Garden, the Scotiabank, and they turn that cold air up. We know, because it's a little warmer outside. And it's tough to keep track of that in the building. And I know the coolers are awesome in the ground and they do a great job, but still, when that temperature comes in, fans are coming in the doors and they're heating things up. You've seen back in the old days, they used to get, remember, it gets foggy in there because they couldn't control the temperature. Nothing's changed really, Gord. The ice takes a beating, and basketball is coming in and out, right? The Raptors played tonight at home. So it's tough to manage.
I'm going to look forward to coming out next week, and I hope that it's always cold down there. It's by the lake. We do our show. We come out. It doesn't matter what month, whether it's October, December, whatever. So I'm hoping it's kind of that playoff, nice kind of weather. So what do you do when you know you're going to be not playing on good ice? So you know, it's bad ice for both teams. So what do you do as a player to try to adapt?
Don't get pretty. Shoot the puck. These things should benefit the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. Shoot the puck. Put pucks at net. You never know what's going to happen, right? But you don't want to get caught overhandling it on bad ice like Mr. Nylander did tonight. He got caught overhandling it, and bang, he puts it in his own net. As Mike Babcock said, we pretty much put it in our own net. And you know what? There's another guy, you know, from a hero to zero, Gord, in one night. It's that quick. It could happen that fast in the National Hockey League, and that happened to William Nylander.
William Nylander taking a look at his stats tonight. So 13 minutes, 56 seconds. He did get 2 shots on net. Let's see the giveaways. He had 3 giveaways.
He had an assist and a goal. didn't put his goal down.
He got an assist on Nazem Kadri's. Yeah, and certainly the gift-wrapped third goal. And, it just is. It's that we said before game one, and again, he got that penalty, and the Bruins got up 1-0. Boy, this is in 2 games. It's had so many momentum changes, and it looked like, oh my goodness, seen this script before for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Oh my goodness, Willie Nylander going to be a goat. And instead, the Leafs came back and won the game. And then today, again, it's a team loss. When there's that many passengers, it's not one particular person. But if it's going to happen to anybody, it just seems this year, it's Willie Nylander. Maybe we're looking for it more. You know, I don't know, overanalyzing it, but just the guy that I really enjoyed watching, the way he controlled the puck, his skill level, hadn't seen it all this season by and large, saw it game number one, hope to see it more often. Hope he's among those guys like Austin Matthews that rises to the challenge as well without Nazem Kadri for, you would think, at least one game.
Well, let's be honest. Since he signed that deal, and great for him, he's been under the microscope and well-deserved. When you sign a $10 million deal for this season, I know going on the contract does go down and subside a bit, but $10 million this year, Gord, we expect more, and we're allowed to expect more out of a contract like this. And for sure, he is under the microscope, like I've said, and that's why he gets dissected so much either way. It feels like a real roller coaster. It's feeling like a roller coaster all year down, and guess what? The roller coaster just went down again.
Yeah.
It's got to come back up.
And all that great sushi we ate, how are you feeling on the roller coaster, okay?
Boy.
Yeah, I know. I think we should just go, and it's a small world after all, and just kind of drift around there. And again, money, you throw money into play, but it does factor in. And right now, because Austin Matthews' contract kicks in next season, okay? And it's not like Austin Matthews is going to play better next year than this year because of the money. He still plays at a great level when he can this year. But William Nylander makes the second most money after John Tavares this season. You know, Marner will kick in with more. Matthews already has kicked in with more. And so that's really, if you just look at it, what your salary is for this season, William Nylander is the second highest paid player on the team.
And exactly. And that's why he's under the scope. Like I just said, he's right under the microscope because of those reasons that you bring along yourself. And he had the long holdout. He's trying to say like, hey, I'm a great player. Give me some money. Here's your money. Show us you're a great player. We're waiting to see that great player side of it. But again, roller coaster ride. The coaster's down. Hopefully it comes back up in game three.
You want Nazem Kadri in your lineup. And until we hear otherwise, we're not counting him out, but we're skeptical. You have to think he's probably going to get at least a one game suspension for that hit on Jake DeBrus today. So do you move Moore up? Do you move Connor Brown up? And also, I mean, you want Kadri in, but I like the way Tyler Ennis has played. So I think as far as a guy coming out of the press box, unlike on D where they struggled to find guys to replace, you know, Gardner and Dermott when they're hurt, I like what Tyler Ennis can bring to the team.
He's a real shocking one for both of us this season, being out of the lineup the way he played at many a times. Colorado just got on the board 1-0 in Calgary. But again, yes, he's a guy that we need to see come back in this lineup and help this team out. But I think there's no reason why Moore can't go up that line. But knowing Mike Babcock, I think Brown goes in there. It's just Mike Babcock. I think Ennis comes in, plays with Moore and Gauthier on the fourth line.
Connor Brown's played pretty well these two games.
He has. He's been noticeable at least, and he's trying his best, and he's digging in. But I just think Trevor Moore adds that energy. Even when he got on a couple times tonight, Gord, he was flying around. I think in this level and this pace and this physical game right now, I think Trevor Moore would be more of a critical top nine forward than Connor Brown.
And don't forget Marcus Johansson missed tonight's game. And they said the flu, but he took a pretty big hit from Connor Brown in game number two. I mean, he's the guy they added like Charlie Coyle, the trade deadline. He didn't play tonight.
He didn't. And again, if DeBrus does sit out tonight, Johansson could draw back in if he's feeling up to par. But yeah, that was another missing part for the Bruins tonight. But they came out, and they just wanted it more at the end of the day, and they got the win.
NHL playoff scoreboard brought to you by ProLine. Put knowledge on the line with ProLine. Shorthanded goal for the Colorado Avalanche by Nieto. A lot of shorthanded. So they're up 1-0 over Calgary. A lot of shorthanded goals so far in the playoffs, Savvy.
There have been. And again, that's another time, Gord, we talked about it. You get a little tighter on the stick. The crowd's going a little crazier. You make a bad decision, and bang, it's in your net. On a shorty.
So that's about 12 minutes left in the second period. There, Colorado leading Calgary right now, 1-0. When we come back, I am interested what Bruce Cassidy has to say. He'll have to be, I think, pleased. You really see now nobody is saying anything about supplementary discipline. That's something Gary Bettman and everybody have really brought in-house very well. It's expensive if you do. And I think they believe that the right actions will be taken by whomever. Mike Murphy looked old. I like Murph. And when I say he looked old, because I think he knew after he's going to incur the wrath of both teams as a supervisor for that particular series. So we'll hear from Bruce Cassidy and a number of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll also hear from Mike Babcock coming up. And you got to love those goal calls. You like them better if you're a Leaf fan last Thursday. But Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph, we'll have all that. And Luke Fox will join us from Boston. Of course, he's with Sportsnet.ca. 4-1, the Boston Bruins defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs, tie the series at one game apiece. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on the Leafs Radio Network.
trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game. Here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Steldick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And a 4-1 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs is evens their first round best 4-7 playoff series between the Leafs and the Bruins to one game apiece. Shots on goal 41-31 in favor of the Bruins, but still the Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf was Freddie Anderson. He played great. One of the few guys that played great for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And a speechless Mark Savard joining me as far as, you know, what can you say? What more can you say? So let's hear some of the other players, the individuals, what they have to say. Now, Mike Babcock, we'll hear from him a little bit later on, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Bruce Cassidy, he was pretty dispirited about game number one, how it all played out at home. A vastly different Boston Bruin team from puck drop tonight. Let's hear what he had to say after being victorious in game two by a score of 4-1.
Bruce, it seemed front of mind to come right out and put a physical sting into them. When you do that and you ask for that, I guess you've got you have to ask for control as well. So going in, what were you thinking and how would you think of execution?
Well, we need to be on time with our start. We knew that. We didn't play to our identity on game one. We all knew that. We're aware of it. We wanted to move past it, have a good response game. How do you respond? You're physical. Win the puck battles, control momentum in the first period, attack when you have the chance, puck possession. There's a lot. We hit a lot of checklists. And just basically let them know that, you know, how we're going to play. And, you know, kind of tilted in our favor after that.
In front.
Bruce, safe to say the nasty level of this series kind of elevated tonight. What did you think of it, and what is the key to kind of keeping discipline for the remainder of the series?
Well, I think our team typically does a good job with discipline. We've got some guys who have been through it, some nasty series in the past. So I don't anticipate any problems there. Now, we've got some newer players. I don't know their whole history, so, you know, I mean, there could be something there that I'm not aware of, but I think our guys are pretty good at that. You know, we're not a team that runs from a physical game. I think it brings out the best in us at times. We just, like you said, you got to stay on the right side of things and make sure you score and defend while you're doing all that. And that was the ask tonight, and it happened for us. We didn't have it Monday for whatever reason. Again, I don't want to go back there all the time, but there's only one game to compare, and we brought it tonight.
Second row.
Just overall thoughts on DeBrusk and Kadri altercation.
Which one? Seem to have a few of them. First one, scrum on the wall. Two guys going at it. I thought second period, I believe it was, Jake hit Kadri over the middle. I thought it was clean. Looking back on it, shoulder to shoulder, I'm not sure. Obviously, Kadri stayed down. I mean, that's his prerogative when you get hit. then the last one, I don't know if it was an altercation. I think he came over and cross-checked him in the face, and I assume it'll be dealt with or looked at. We'll go from there.
Yeah, everybody pretty well trained not to say anything controversial. It will get looked at. Kadri got five minutes and a 10-minute misconduct match penalty for that hit on Jake DeBrusk. Unfortunately, it was a cross-check to the face. Anderson has scored for Calgary, so they've tied it up 1-1. That was on the power play, so the battle between Calgary and Colorado going at it. That's also a physical series. Picking a couple of different Maple Leafs to hear from this time. Morgan Rielly, we didn't hear from him after game number one. He really had a phenomenal game number one. Tonight, again, it was the matching. I don't know. It just kind of weird. He just didn't seem to be out there in those situations. The Bruins weren't giving him ice or he wasn't, whatever. Didn't get anything on the scoreboard. Was even. Played 23 minutes, 53 seconds. That was the most of any player on the Toronto Maple Leaf team. and he had four shots on goal. Here he is after the 4-1 loss, Morgan Riley.
Morgan, do you tip your hat to the way Boston was able to bring it here tonight and up their game in terms of making life so difficult for you guys in the D zone?
Yeah, they came out strong. You know, we knew that they were going to, you know, have a push early on in the game, and they did. Got two in the first, and, I thought we did a decent job of weathering the storm. That being said, they played well, and, you know, we're tied going home, so that's that.
How tough is it to play D when they're on the second view as quickly as they seem to be, especially in the first period?
Well, it's hard. They did a good job of that. They pursued the puck hard, and, it's on us to make plays, break out, and do that to them, so that's the goal. Just better execution. I think the work ethic was there. We know how we have to play. They came out hard, and, you know, there's no question about that. So it's important that, you know, we respond and we come out hard in game three. You know, we're going home with a split, so we're happy about that. But it's important that we bear down. We look at what happened tonight, and we learn from it, get better, and, you know, make sure that we respond in game three.
How did you see what looked like a knee on knee?
I was behind the play. I didn't have a good angle of it. Of course, right when it happened, just judging by the way Nas went down, it didn't seem great, but I haven't watched the replay. I talked to the ref. He said he jumped, and it was just a big hit, so it is what it is, and, that stuff happens.
In general, what did you think of the officiating? Did you have a good sense of what was?
I thought they were good. They take their jobs very seriously. I think they did a good job. There wasn't too many power plays. It's hard on them. You know, the game moves fast, and, you know, they're doing their best, and I thought they did a good job. I have no idea. I haven't watched it.
There they are. It's interesting. They are told not to say anything and just be good about the officials, which is smart, and you don't want the officials' union annoyed at you about something. And Morgan Riley, always a stand-up guy after the game. That's him after the 4-1 loss. Another guy played pretty physical. You got to love the way Zach Hyman plays. He played 17 minutes, 45 seconds. No shots on net, but some pretty hard-nosed hockey. How many hits did he have? Three hits. It's pretty good hits, though. And here is Zach Hyman after the 4-1 loss.
What changed most from game one to game two?
You got to expect to push back from them. When we knew it was coming, they were physical. We didn't give our D time in the first couple of periods. I thought they were all over us, and then we decided to go a little bit in the third there, and a little bit too late.
How did things change from the first game to this game? I mean, you guys are obviously trying to repeat what you did in game one, but it didn't happen. And how do you maybe ensure that you get a little more of game one and game three when the series comes back to Toronto?
Listen, it's hard to win two games in a row. Once you lose, you get a sour taste in your mouth, and you push back, and that's what they did, and we're going to have to do that for game three, and we're going home. And the series is split, so it's 1-1, and we're going home. And at the end of the day, you flush this one out, and you get ready for game three.
Concern you may not have Naz for game three, and who knows beyond that?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. It was kind of in a blind spot for us on the bench. I didn't see the hit. Didn't see the replay, so I can't really comment on the hit. But he's an important player, so... I don't know what's going to happen, but he's an important player for us.
How do you think the team handled the physical play in general?
I thought we stood our ground. I thought we pushed back. I don't think we were running out of the building at all. I thought that we were physical back with them. I thought that, towards the third two, we started to get a little bit of ozone time, which was good. And it's a long series, and every hit matters. It's an investment, and you're playing the team next again, so you got to keep being physical.
Do you know where the line was in this game in terms of how it was called, or was it hard to get a read on that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a comment on that, but it's playoffs, so the refs have a hard job too, I guess.
Well, there we go. And, of course, just... over the wires now that he has been offered an in-person hearing, has Nazem Kadri. I take it would happen in Toronto, so that's easy enough for him. But in-person doesn't mean good. It means they could really throw the book at you, should they choose to do that. He's also a repeat offender from last year, which doesn't work well for him in figuring out whatever discipline is going to be meted out. So we'll find about that. An off day, just unfortunate. 2 years in a row, that same kind of script involving Nazem Kadri, an important part of the Toronto Maple Leafs, exactly like Zach Hyman says, but likely not to be there for game number three, and who knows thereafter what the case will be. We'll hear what Mike Babcock has to say. We'll check in with Luke Fox in Boston, and much, much more coming up. A 4-1 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.